first, first. You have heard of little Moses in the Borah. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the whale you often sing. There are many, many others through the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord, let's meet them at that meeting in the air. There is going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you over there in my home. Beyond the sky, such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ears, will be glorious, I do declare. I know this, and God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting. All together, all the skeptics will be absent on that day. There will be no grumblers present to disturb us, and the aches will be far away. There the saints will have a seal upon their foreheads, dressed in raiment of the ransom ones can wear. All who have the wedding garment will be present at the meeting in the air. Oh, there's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you. I'll meet you over there in my home beyond the sky. So sing, never heard by mortal ears, 'twill be glorious, I do declare. Hallelujah. There is going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you. I'll meet you over there in my home beyond the sky. Sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you over there in my home beyond the sky. So singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ears, 'twill be glorious,
such a revelation thanks to Brother Jeremiah's messages. I know there's going to be a meeting. You know, we're so blessed with all the stuff we get. That song sounds so much better now. I know there's going to be a meeting. I know that's what separates me from everybody else. Everybody else is tired of waiting on God. And I know he's always right on time. Everybody else wants to see trumpets that sound like that. I say, the trumpet's already sounded. No. He's calling me. I'm ready for a supper. I love how simple Brother Jeremiah made it. He said, I don't care what's being served. Just get me at the table. Yeah, I don't even worry about the invitation. I've got an invitation. I've got a seat at the table. I don't care if it's chicken or steak. I know I'll be happy to be there. Oh, my. We're in this church, page 163. I'll be enjoying myself. 163, we're in this church. Just have a good old time over there. I'm looking forward to it. Can't take away my wedding supper. Spiritualize it all you want to. It's real. We're in this church, this glorious church. I did not join, though I was born. I have a new birth. Some glorious day, I'm gonna sail away. I'll sail away. It's by his grace, not by my works. I'm in this church. I'm in this church, this glorious church. I did not join, though I was born. I have a new birth. Some glorious day, I'm gonna sail away. I'll sail away. It's by his grace, not by my works. I'm in this church. Let's sing that again. Hallelujah. We're in this church, this glorious church. We didn't join. We did not join. No, we were born. We have a new birth. Some glorious day, I'll sail away. I'll sail away. It's by his grace, not by my works. I'm in this church. Let's sing that again. Hallelujah. We're in this church, this glorious church. We did not join, no, we were born. We have a new birth. Some glorious day, we're gonna sail away. I'll sail away. It's by his grace, not by my works. I'm in this church. Let's sing that one more time. Hallelujah. We're in this church, this glorious church. We did not join, though we were born. We have a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. I'll sail away. It's by his grace, not by my works. We're in this church. One more time. Hallelujah. I'm in this church, this glorious church. I didn't join. Hallelujah. I was born. I was born. I have a new birth. Some glorious day, sail away, I'll sail away. It's by his grace, not by my. It's by his grace, not by my. I said it's by his grace, not by my work. I'm in this church. Hallelujah.
You know, there's very few songs that actually takes you completely out of the picture.
Amen.
But that one sure does. It's not I give my heart to God. No. It's not I did anything. I'm in this church, declared statement,
right.
No conditions, right. I'm in this church, I didn't join, I was born. I was born, doesn't say I did anything, I was just born. I was born in this thing.
Amen.
I didn't have anything to do with my natural birth, I got one thing to do with my spiritual birth.
Amen.
That just thrills me, that song just thrills me. And to know what the church is, it's not this, it's all of that. It's a body, this thing was way in motion before I ever got here.
Yeah.
He just revealed to me what he'd already done.
Amen.
Thank God for it.
Praise God.
Oh, Jeremiah, my heart is stirred to sing of those songs
God.
And the reality of the revelation I have with each one of
right.
them.
Amen.
You know that I know he's coming back.
Right.
When this
Amen.
World of chaos is so crazy, I have a revelation. I'm that little bride standing there knowing he's going to come
Amen.
To me.
Amen.
You know, and I thank God, too, for that song. Nothing we could have done.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. We're not worthy in any
Amen.
Way, but that he made us worthy.
Amen, Lord.
I just love him. I just want to sing I love him.
Amen.
I can't love him enough.
Amen.
He's been so good.
Amen.
I'm on your side.
I love him.
God, you know, he's so good and he blesses me all the time. I'm so thankful for, you know, I'm sorry, just all of my friends and stuff like that. He just done so much for me and everything I've been through and everything in life, he's always been there, anything
right.
bad. And I thank God, I don't know, people always thank God for the good, but I'm like, why don't you thank him more for the bad? Like, he has seen you through that, and that bad gives you character.
Right.
That
That's
bad
right.
makes you stronger. He is trying to build you to something. He's trying to lead you somewhere, and while you're complaining and murmuring and like, oh, God, I can't do this, like, God's there. Like, God is like, I'm trying to do something for you. Like, let me do it. It's not always going to be like sunshine and roses. And honestly, my life, I don't want it to be. You know,
no.
I made, you know, they have these, what is that, New Year's resolutions or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, I did a bad one. I made a New Year's prayer, and I was like, Lord, make this year, like 2016, this was a year ago. I was like, make 2016 the worst year I've ever had in my life. Just the worst. Just do everything, God. Just do everything, anything. Just send it all my way. And I was like, 6 months through, I was like, ooh, Lord, I don't know if I can make it or not. But I was like, no, you know what? No, I can, and God within me is bigger than he that's
Amen.
In the world. He has blessed me, has seen
Amen.
Me through everything. I'm so thankful. One of my friends, you know, kind of sad, a little bit. He's going away for 6 months. He's chosen to serve in this military. And I'm like, you know what? I'm proud of him. I'm so proud of him. We've been through so much together. He's seen me through so much, and I just thank God for that, because there's not many people that can you sit down and you, like, just express yourself to them and, like, fully and completely. And when you have that bond, it's special, and you have to cherish that, and God gave that to you. And I thank God because my mom, love her, she just celebrated a birthday, and I'm like, don't know how old she is, but I love her to death, you know? I don't even keep track. I just know that's my mama, and I love her to death. I love both my parents to death. My little sister, God bless her, she's up at Bowling Green. I don't know what she's doing. She's doing good, though. She's up there. She's getting her grades. She's doing good. And I'm just thankful for everything that has happened to me, everything in life that God's seen
Amen.
Me through. He has been a
yeah.
blessing, and it's just been a blessing. So we're going to sing, I Just Come to Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You got me.
I just come to praise him. I just come to praise him. I just come to praise the Lord. Yes, I just come to praise the Lord. I just come to praise the Lord. I just come to praise him. I just come to praise him. I just come to praise the Lord. Now everybody sing hallelujah. If God's been good to you.
voices. And you'll see on your verse there, just when she sings a verse, you do the echo. Guys, I'll help you out as much as I can. It's lower, so don't try to sing the same key as her. Sing lower. I made that mistake when we were practicing. So don't do that. You need another verse. You're good. Okay, good. So we're good there, and then we'll join in on the chorus. I don't need this.
With all of my heart. I just want to give God the praise and thank you for all that he has done for me.
Right.
And just giving me this great life that he's given me. God don't make mistakes. And I trust him all the way.
Amen.
And I just want to just give him what he so deserved, because he done all for me. There's nothing I don't have to do.
Right.
You know, he chose me. I did not choose him.
Right.
And I'm just so glad that, you know, when you find your purpose in life, when you find out who you really are, it makes a great difference. Because you know that when you see God ahead, and you know he will always be there, he will always do what he says he do. He's never a liar.
Right.
And when you put your trust in him, faith comes forward, and then all you see is the manifestation of our glorious God. And I just can't give him enough praise, because that's all he wants from me. He said, I've done it all, Teresa. Stop worrying. Stop stressing.
Amen.
Just put your trust in me and watch what I do, because he will never give up on you, and he will never fail you. And I thank God that I serve a God like that, and I serve a loving God. He is my husband. Oh, hallelujah. When you know for yourself, oh, hallelujah, there's nothing will keep you in your seat. You will get up and give him praise like he wants you to. Hallelujah. And I just want to say, Lord, I love you, and just thank you for giving me this revelation and the understanding of it. It's the understanding of it. And then all of a sudden, the manifestation just flows out. And I just love him so much for that. And I can never thank him enough. It's never enough time in the day and hour. I just keep giving him praises and praises. And I just love him so much.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
God bless you, Teresa. We're going to do announcements. Remember the 21st at 7 o'clock, there's a service in Springboro. So it's a field trip opportunity. I know Pastor Moore's going. They have the address in the back. And so if you want to go to that church out there in Springboro, it's on the 21st at 7 o'clock. And then on the 27th, which is a Friday, at 7 o'clock at Brother Jeremiah's house, the address is in the back as well. We're having our fall party. So those are two things by way of October that are coming up. So make sure you're available if you're going to be going to those things. I'm going to sing one last song. We got Brother Jeremiah's preaching today, and he's going to be continuing what he started basically last Sunday night. He made it through one box. I'm looking forward to everything he has to say, but, you know, we're going to sing page 191, God Has Smiled on Me in the key of G. You know, when I think about the songs that we sing, I will give you all my worship. I'll give you all my praise. You know, I love how even in this church, it's not a form of fashion. If you can clap, clap. If you can sing, sing. Whatever God puts on you is what it is. What I do doesn't mean that's what you got to do. I don't need five people playing the organ. I don't need nine people playing the guitar. But I do want you to give all you got. You know, give all you can. And, you know, when I say I'm going to give my all, that may be different than your all. But I'm not judged by what Brother Jim does. I'm not judged by what he does. I'm just grateful to know what I know. You know, because no matter what, when it's got to be real to you for it to do anything. Yeah, give your worship, because this thing is so real. This revelation that we get is so real. It does have to be a personal revelation.
Yeah.
So I can't count on the way Brother Jim praises God for it to be personal to me.
Right.
You know, I can't count on that. And so when you can't count on those kind of things, you need to just let go and let God have his wonderful way. I mean, guys, we get so much good stuff in here.
Nobody else gets
this.
You
know, you talked about these songs being wrote by inspiration. We're the only people to know what's going on. They're writing songs gleaming in the darkness of it, saying, it's well with my soul. They don't even know how well it is.
Right.
I know how well it is.
Amen.
I know what's going on. I know what happened. I know what's happening right now. And I know what's coming forth. When I say God has smiled on me, he's been too good to me.
Amen.
He has been too good.
Got a revelation.
But that's the benefit I get from being the wife.
So
I appreciate it. Page 191.
Yes, sir.
God has smiled on me.
Amen.
God has smiled on me.
Oh
my. This is beautiful. I look forward to what God's going to do.
Yes, God has. Oh, he smiled on me. He has set me free. everything that I should need. He sends it down from above. He always takes care of me. Hallelujah. Yes, God has. Oh, He smiles on me. He has set me free. Yes,
yes,
God has smiled on me. He's been good to me.
A light unto.
Free from condemnation, free from the law of sin and death, Lord. Lord, we're eternal beings. We came from you. We're going back to you. We can't be charged in that soul realm, Lord, and we thank you for that. We're signed, sealed, and delivered. Thank you for that understanding. Lord, thank you for another opportunity to get here, to hear from you, to see you in action, Lord. Make it brighter to us. Make it a little bit, light the path in our ways a little bit further. And Lord, you have to do it. Lord, I can't do anything. Move both the hearer and the speaker out of the way. Touch our elders, Lord. Give them strength and body. Touch those that need you, Lord. Continue to bless Trevor. Let him come through and come out strong, Lord. Looking for the good report there. Thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be here this morning. God is good to us. Not my intention to be up here this morning, but God wants to get this thing finished, so we're going to do work on it. My heart's desire is to get through this to this morning, but God will know what he wants. You know, one thing, I don't believe in doing an injustice and rushing it just to get through it. I want God to have his way. It's too good. You know, I think about this topic we're on just a little bit, and you know, there's a lot of information in it. And you know, you can get information overload, and thank God we know we don't have to know everything. But at the same time, we've been blessed here. Amen. You know, I was thinking about Gog and Magog here that we're going to try to get to this morning. And you know, there's people in the message that put that before the white throne judgment, because they go over and read the scripture and it will look like it's in that order. But I can actually remember being a kid here and remember God saying, you can't read it like a newspaper. You know, it's not all, not everything is in order. You know, in the book of Revelations, you go to Revelations 10 and it makes sense out of Revelations 5. You go to Revelation 10, it makes sense out of Revelation 8. You go to Revelation 10, it makes sense out of Revelation 1. And so, you know, it's not a newspaper that everything that you read is exactly in order. But that's why we need a prophet. That's why God sent us a prophet. And that's how God dealt with Brother Childers in 1973. And, you know, we keep going back to that, but it is amazing. You know, you may think we're crazy, but I just believe it. Because I haven't seen God have to change it. And that's the only thing I know that doesn't change is God. Man will change his mind. We'll change our mind in a heartbeat, but God cannot change his mind about his word. And this thing's ran forever since I've been around it enough to understand it. And that's greater than man, because man can't come up with this. God is the only one that can tie this thing the way it does. And thankful for that this morning. And so, Joe, you might as well put that up there. We're going to try to get through the rest of the boxes this morning. I'm glad to know I come from God. I'm going back to God. You know, I'm looking forward to a rapture. So it's already kind of started in process, but I'm looking forward to actually changing this body. You know, I don't care how old the story gets, you will not take away the fact that this body is going to change. This is not the same condition I'm going to be in when I'm sitting down to wedding supper. I will have a glorified body, Brother Duskins. It won't grow old. It won't get wrinkled. It won't get tired. It won't have to cry tears of sorrow. It's actually going to be a happy body, a strong body, a body that's in its prime, of an earth that's not cursed, that will be able to live forever because God's own life will be on the inside of that thing. I'm looking forward to that, Brother Jim. And, you know, people sometimes try to take that away, and that's what is another important thing about this message. What I'm showing you up there this morning, what I've been talking about, is there's spiritual aspects to it, but every bit of that's going to have a natural part of that. There's not a thing up there that don't have a natural part of that, Brother Childers. Some people try to spiritualize it all, but that's the false doctrine. There really will be a physical glorified body. There really will be a physical meeting the Lord in the air. There really will be a physical table that I'm sitting down at the wedding supper. I will walk on the earth for 1,000 years in the millennium. And when we get to God, the white throne judgment, there will be people that raise up in their actual bodies they went down in. And there will be a Gog and Magog. There will be a burning that kills spiritually and naturally. And there will be a new heaven and new earth that'll actually be a real earth. You can't spiritualize that altogether. That's reality going to happen to me. God never wanted to just dwell alone as a spirit. He was a spirit, but he wanted some people to fellowship with. He wanted some earth to enjoy. And that's where we're going to end up when this thing's all said and done, Brother Childers. It won't just be spirits floating around. Brother Branham even thought that one point in time, that he'd just be floating up there as a harp. But when God showed him beyond the curtain of time, he actually saw bodies. He saw people. And it was just God giving him a glance the way it's going to be, Brother Childers, where we're going to live in a physical world, in a physical body, and it's going to be made to your and my liking. That's exciting. And I don't care how smart they get. I don't care how many quotes they claim to have.
I don't care. They say the Holy Ghost, the white throne judgment is a type of the Holy Ghost. You better read more than just that. The white throne judgment is where they're actually going to be raised up in their same old bodies they went down in and will be judged according to their works. Read that too. Don't just spiritualize this thing. It will be a natural occurrence. People get too smart. They put too much education in this thing. And God don't use education to bring forth his revelation. God is the giver of revelation. It's beyond you. Brother Bram said, you can't compare scripture to scripture to get this thing and verse to verse. It will take the teaching of the Holy Spirit himself to be able to tie this thing together. You know what we got in this church is the Holy Spirit. We got the revealer here. That's the same spirit the devil brought to us in 73 is here this morning. And he'll ride up on his word and reveal this to you. There's people that have more education than me. There's people that read the quote books more than me. There's people that know the Old Testament better than me. But I've got the Holy Spirit that's revealed this to me. And that's greater than all the other studying they've done. Oh, I'm excited this morning. We get so much revelation in this church, I don't think we know what to do with it sometimes. I can't hardly get through these boxes because there's so much in that thing. And I've been getting this since I've been going to church here, but since I've been 8 years old. I've been knowing I'm going to build a house in the millennium since I've been 8 years old. Knowing I can build mansions since I've been 8 years old. Oh, I'm blessed and thankful this morning to have a revelation. You know, you can come in here and think, I want to hear Pastor, or I want to hear something exciting. This is exciting to me. Don't take this away from me. This, don't take away my wedding supper. Don't take away my millennium. Don't take away my new heaven and new earth. It's going to be real, and it was made just for me. Oh, I'm excited. It's going to happen, Brother Moore. James sung the song this morning, said this meeting's going to really happen. There's going to be a real meeting in the air. The dead saints will raise. We're going to unite with him. And we're going to go meet the Lord in the air and go to the wedding supper. And this earth will be in a tribulation period for 3.5 years. But we won't be here. We'll be celebrating at the wedding supper. Moses and Elijah will be preaching to 144,000. But we won't be here. We'll be enjoying the wedding supper. Oh, my. And then we're going to a 1,000-year millennium. And the rest of the dead live not 1,000 years. So let's get started so we can try to get through this thing. If you have your Bible, turn with me. Revelation, the 20th chapter. And we're going to read a little bit of this today. Because it's got just about the rest of it in there. You got to get to chapter 21 to finish it, because that's where the new heaven and new earth is. But in order to get to the millennium, the white throne judgment, Gog and Magog, you got to work on 20 for a little bit. So that's what we're going to do.
Amen.
We're going to start there, because this is, we got to have this thing in order too. See, if you had the millennium at the new heaven and new earth, you'd be all out of cater. Because, you know, and I said this in passing Wednesday, but let me slow down and break this down. The millennium is still a time element. It's 1,000 years. It's time. You haven't fully reached eternity on the earth yet. Your soul's eternal. You're eternal there. And you know, the bride's eternal. But this earth has still got a process it's got to go through when it's at the millennium. I told you it's only been burnt down to root and stubble. That means that Satan's still around. God hasn't totally annihilated the devil yet. But when we get to the new heaven and new earth, the devil will be totally annihilated, and it'll be God all in all. So you got to have these things in order. Revelation, the 20th chapter. Start with verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hands. Chain of circumstance, Brother Childers. Satan won't even be able to bother us in that millennium. He might still be around, but he'll be bound by a chain. Because I'll be perfect in all three rims, and he will not be able to get me. He laid a hold on that dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil. You know that serpent back there in the Garden of Eden that we read about when we started this thing? You think God accidentally put that in there? That old serpent, which is the devil. Because the devil used that serpent to get it to Eve and introduce sex into the thing. This thing ties from Genesis to Revelation all the way through, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. But you know, that devil's just a small thing in the book of Isaiah. He bothers us, but one day we're going to see him as he is and say, that's what bothered us. God's going to bound that guy and put him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a season. Now, loosed a little season. Thank you, Jim. Now, that's exactly right. I don't want to skip over that. Now, it won't be long. And it won't be. But that millennium is 1,000 years old, long. And we already read about that. And I saw thrones. Now we're getting to the white throne judgment here in a minute. And they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Christ and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So you got to be able to read the scripture right. One part of it is talking about the white throne judgment. Another part is talking about the millennium. And the white throne judgment is actually after the millennium. Can't read like a newspaper. Got to have a revelation. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years are finished. This is the first resurrection. Amen. I'm going to have to skip over some of this because that's too exciting. Because listen to this next verse. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. You know what the first resurrection is? It's Thessalonians 4 that I told you about. Amen. The shout, the voice, the trump. That's that resurrection rapture that we're going to take part right at the beginning of this. Amen. That's the first resurrection. You and I are part of that. Blessed and holy are we. Amen. On such the second death. What's the second death? There's going to be an annihilation coming up here, Brother Childers, where there won't be root or branch. You're exactly right. Hath no power. You hear those of us in the first resurrection, the second death hath no power in us. We cannot be totally annihilated. Passed from death unto life. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And then when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Let me throw in this. When you're talking about forever and you apply it to God, that's eternity. But when it's forever and you're talking about a space of time, it's not eternal. There is no eternal hell. There's only one form of eternal life, and that's God's own life. Forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. They're going to be in bodies, brother children. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's a lot in there, Brother Church. And we're getting ready to talk about it. You know, it talked about judgment in there. It talked about a white throne judgment. And you know what? The bride, and I should go over here, 1 Corinthians 6 and 2, and let me read that because it's an important verse to read. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. I'm throwing verse 2 real quick. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? No,
Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? The bride is not stand before God in judgment. She's already passed that judgment. She's already been born again. She's already passed from death unto life. There is no condemnation on her. But she's sitting there in the throne with Christ, judging the entire world. Now, where it says angels there, you know, Brother Brandon told us what that is. It's fallen angels, fallen Lutherans, fallen Wesleyans. It's the people that went into denominations and did not move forward with the message. But we will be right there and judging them, Brother James. Now, what's going to happen? There will be a general resurrection. You heard me read there about the first resurrection. But then on down, it says the dead will be raised up and stand before God. They will raise up in the same bodies they went down in. St. John, the 5th chapter, verses 28 through 29, Jesus said, "Know ye not that the grave shall deliver people out of the graves and stand before God in judgment?" That is the general resurrection. That is the second resurrection. Your foolish virgin will show up there. Your souls under the altar will show up there. Those people that were never came from God and won't go back to God, Satan's followers, will come up right there in the general resurrection. If after the millennium, there will be a white throne judgment, and that's where God divides the sheep and the goats. He'll tell the sheep or the foolish virgin, come in, go into eternal life. They always were eternal. What's going to happen is they'll start walking and manifesting eternal life and live out there on that new earth forever and ever for eternity. Amen. But you know what God's also going to do is say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You go to my left. And then in a little bit, they'll be completely devoured. Because we got to get Gog and Magog in there first. But that's how that judgment's going to work. And the bride is sitting there with Christ, judging the entire earth and people in it. And then what happens, it says Satan will be loose for a little season. You know what he does? He gets his people. They're not happy about their judgment, Brother Childers. They're not happy with their sentence that they're getting. And Satan gathers people and he goes and makes war with God and his people. He tries to. But it ain't going to be me sitting there with a sword trying to slay something that's spiritual anyhow. Because, you know, it's just like even today. You know, you can kill somebody, but it's the spirit behind it that you'll never be able to kill. Satan's more than just getting in a body. He's actually a spirit. And you got to be able to kill that spirit to fully annihilate what that spirit's trying to do. I'm okay with some gun control, but you can take all the guns away from people, and it's still the spirit behind it that will find a way to kill. The devil's a murderer. What did he do when he started at the beginning? He murdered. He didn't need a gun. Cain slew his brother. That spirit of murdering was right back there. And you can take away everything, but they'll figure out a way to kill because there's a spirit behind it. And God's got to get rid of that, Brother Childers. He's got to totally annihilate that to fully get rid of the devil. All the devil is, you know, this body in one sense ain't the devil. Just like this body ain't God. Devil uses this body. God uses this house. But it's the spirit behind it that you got to kill. And so God is going to kill them. God's going to devour them. And even though this thing put the white throne judgment in Revelation 20 before Gog and Magog, or put Gog and Magog before the white throne judgment, the judgment comes first. Amen. The white throne judgment is first, and then Gog and Magog, Satan gets mad.
Yeah.
Raises up. Goes and fights God and his people. But you know, it's just a little season. You know, people think of this burning hell and punishing people because they deserve to be punished. God don't even work that way, not really. God just takes care of it. And you know, God is a consuming fire. He is that lake of fire and brimstone that he's going to cast the devil into. And you know what God does? He burns them out. And there's two types of burnings there. There's a physical burning because he's still got to kill and get that curse off that body that they raised up in. And there's a spiritual burning that he can totally annihilate the devil and all those spirits that follow him. Going to completely devour him. So let's throw in a few quotes on this thing. I'm looking forward to the God devouring the devil. That won't bother me at all. Now, I want to throw this in first because I talked about this Wednesday night. This was in Questions and Answers, 1964. Does the millennium have to do with 1,000 years? Could it not be a generation? They were asking Brother Branham. No. A generation allowed in the Bible is 40 years. But the Bible said they lived in the reign of Christ 1,000 years. It will be 1,000 years up on the earth. So don't shorten it. Don't spiritualize it. There will be an actual thing. Now, and we're going to get to it, but I want to throw this in. When the earth is the future home, is restored by the same thing, there could be no more cursing, no more storms, no more winds, no more typhoons, rather. You know, this earth that you see is trembling and going through things. When we get over there and it's pure, there won't be any more of that. You're reconciled. God and man has met. The new earth will be put on its Eden beauty again. The new earth will spread forth after her fire baptism. Baptism of fire. Just think, she'll catch a fire and burn up. The elements will burn with fervent heat. All the works in the earth will burn. All the water will explode. It will ignite and blow all. Everything will blow up. Volcanics will erupt, and thousands of miles in the air will fly burning hot lava. Every germ, the Holy Spirit of God will cleanse off every speck of all sin and everything. All the devil will be bound and cast into the lake of fire, consuming fire, God's wrath of fire.
Right.
That'll be the second death.
Amen.
Satan's going to get mad. He's going to go to battle with God. God will devour them. But it's not only just the spiritual portion. It's natural and spiritual.
Right.
You know, this isn't doctrine, but I was thinking, I was reading a story the other day. They talk about Yellowstone National Park and how that's just volcanoes waiting to erupt. And I recently went out there and saw this thing, but they're worried, saying at some point in time, that thing will erupt again, and it'll be a super volcano, and it will cause all of America to be under an ash cloud, and it'll cause us problems, and the weather will go crazy. Now, I don't know when that could or could not happen, but it would not surprise me when you get to that Third World War, and they start bombing each other and flipping the world on its axis again, to watch this stuff just start exploding like crazy, Brother Deskins, and destroy this earth. We're sitting on volcanoes that just waiting to erupt. This powder keg's waiting to get this earth cleaned off for us.
Amen.
But God is that fire. Now, let's read one more thing here before I move on. Down at the bottom here. Question and answers number two. Now, this is a quote I can remember being a young kid and hearing here because it puts things in order. The church, the lukewarm, and anything outside the elected bride will go through the tribulation period. We've already talked about that. They will not raise in the first resurrection. The rest of the dead live not 4,000 years, just the foreordained, predestinated, elected bride, God's own election. Who is it, Brother Branham? I don't know. I can't tell you who it is, but I know it's going to be there because the Lord said they would. They are the ones that will go up from the tribulation. But the rest of them will go through the tribulation, go down, and everything killed before the millennium. Brother Branham's putting this in order for you. Then the righteous shall come out on the millennium and live 1,000 years. And after the 1,000 years, what did he put next? Then the great white throne judgment comes, and then the dead, both right and wrong, is raised. General resurrection. And the books are open, and the book of life was open. And the saints, the wife and the husband, set and judge the world. Wife and husband. And there it comes to pass, saying, and he shall judge all nations with a rod of iron. You know, the problem with those people that are going to be fully annihilated is that they're unbelievers. But you know, we've talked about that book of life. They're going to be judged according to their works written in that book. And they're going to be totally annihilated. They're not believers. They didn't recognize their day in this message. That is their problem. And he'll judge them with a rod of iron. All nations shall stand before him, and he shall judge them. He'll separate the sheep from the goats and say, goats, depart. And the sheep come, ye blessed of my Father. So he put the white throne of judgment first. Then listen to what he says. Now then, there will be a camp meetings of the saints upon the breadth of the earth. And Satan is loosed out of his prison and goes to make war again with the saints. Just as exactly what he done in glory to begin with. So that's now we're talking, getting the Gog and Magog. Yeah. Brother Bram putting it right in order for us. And God rains fire and brimstone out of the heavens, and the whole earth is removed. It's just burned up and destroyed. There's no more sea, no more water, nothing left on the earth. Volcanic will spray and burst and blow the whole thing. I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. So, great white throne judgment. The dead will raise. They will be judged. This is after the 1,000-year millennial reign. Then Satan's loosed out of his prison. They're judged according to his works. He gets mad at his judgment. The foolish virgin come in and go into eternal life. The souls on the altar come and go into eternal life. And whoever God foreordained will go into eternal life. And Satan gets mad, goes to try to fight God and his people. And God will rain fire and brimstone and destroy Satan. Here's the great thing. This is no longer just root and stubble. This is a complete devouring, complete annihilation of Satan and his followers. Brother Moore said Sunday, don't stop there. We still got Satan around. Now we're getting to where Satan will be totally destroyed. You know, that's what happened to you. God destroyed Satan inside of you. That old soul, which was Satan's life, was on the inside of you, and God annihilated that thing. It wasn't some big show and go on forever and ever in some big drag-out process. God just annihilated him and said, I remember you no more. That's what he's going to do there. He's going to say, I remember you no more, because he's the one that created the devil. And all he's got to do is put him out of his mind in a sea of forgetfulness, and he will do that, and Satan and his followers will be completely wiped off the face of the earth. What a day that will be.
Amen.
When the devil's completely gone, the thing that's been bothering you and me, the deceiver from the very beginning, the one that's tried to get and mess up God's plan the entire time, he'll stand there and we'll be in judgment and say, you can't come in, and God will totally annihilate him. He won't be able to bother us at all then. You know, he could try and just not have access. But when he's totally annihilated, he won't even be in existence to try a thing. He'll be loosed out of his prison to try something, but God's going to destroy him, completely annihilate him, and Satan will not be there. And we'll get ready to go to the new heavens and new earth. That's when we're getting ready to start talking about eternity again. Because this burning I just told you about, that consuming fire, will kill the atmosphere and all that's cursed. There won't be any more tornadoes and no more earthquakes and no more traveling of the earth. God will have everything back on its axis, and he will clean out the heavens and the earth and put it back into its perfect beauty. You know, Brother Brad made a statement I was reading last night. He said, in the millennium, we'll build houses and inhabit them. But when we get to that new heaven and new earth and get to that city, he says, we have nothing to do with the building of it. God's prepared that. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. Let not your hearts be troubled. It'll be made to yours and my liking. We don't have to build it. God will already have it made for us. He's going to wipe off the devil, clean out the atmosphere, and it will be a perfect new heaven and new earth. We've said it before in here. We don't see colors the way we're supposed to see colors. We don't breathe air and smell it the way that we're supposed to smell. This thing's cursed. It's got pollution in it. It's got all kinds of stuff in it. But when we get over there, that will completely be cleaned off, and it will be a perfect earth. I'm going to read some scriptures here in a minute, but this earth belongs to God. He'll destroy them that destroy this earth, because this earth is his, and he wanted this earth. And you know, and I'm not trying to save this world cosmos, because this world cosmos is Satan's Eden. But I'm going to an Eden that's God's Eden that will be perfect and green and be made exactly to my liking, the way that I love it, Brother Childers. Now we're starting to talk about where we're trying to get to. Because don't get me wrong, we got to fulfill every one of those steps. But when we get to that new heaven and new earth, now we're back into eternity again. We're back to that full Garden of Eden condition. Satan won't even be there, Brother Moore. Think about that. In the Garden of Eden,
the devil was around. But this new heaven and new earth, the devil won't even be around. There won't be any, don't eat of this tree, don't eat of this tree. You can eat of any tree you want and never die.
Amen.
Devil won't be there to get into anything. Won't be any pride. You know, God made the devil. This is his story. And he knew he'd be lifted up in pride. But when we get over there, it'll just be God all in all. You know, another doctrine we preach here, and I'm not preaching it today, is when we get over there, Jesus is going to give the kingdom back to God.
Yeah.
And say, this is your kingdom.
Right.
It won't even be a kingdom of Jesus really anymore. It'll be God all in all.
Amen.
And through everything, giving eternal life to everything, he'll be the light, he'll be everything, life-sustaining source.
Amen.
What a day that'll be. When my Jesus, I shall see that. I'm looking forward to that. Now let's read some scripture. If it was just you I was preaching to, I'd probably skip some of this. But there will be people that tune into this and listen, so I want to throw some witnesses in there. Revelation, the 21st chapter. I'm excited. I'm at that last block, brother. That's good. I feel good. Because I'm going to enjoy this last block.
Amen.
I already knew I was this morning because I got some quotes. And when I think about that new heaven, new, I'm going to enjoy every bit of it. You know that wedding supper is going to be wonderful.
Yeah.
We're going to have a good time.
Amen.
You know, I was teasing Wednesday night. We're going to be drunk in that spirit. We won't even know what's going on around us.
Right.
We're going to be celebrating.
Amen.
That we may not even have time to eat.
Amen.
But we'll take communion and all that. Whatever we decide to do, we're going to have a good old time.
Amen.
And when I go to that millennium, I am going to build that house that I remember as an eight-year boy. And it probably will still be a mansion. And I'm going to enjoy that thing, Brother Moore. And nobody will be able to take it away from me.
Amen.
If rent's late, they can't come and get it. Because there won't be no rent there.
Amen.
And Satan will be bound, and I'm going to enjoy that thing.
Amen.
And then we'll do the white throne judgment, and I'm going to be thrilled to see those fools virgin walk in.
Yeah.
I'm going to be thrilled to see the souls on the altar walk in.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be thrilled to be able to look at that devil and his followers and say, get over here to the right.
Amen.
That's going to be a good day. And then when God destroys that devil, what a day of rejoicing that'll be too. No more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain. The devil can't bother us. That'll be a wonderful time. But what I'm getting ready to talk about next is a new heaven and a new earth. It'll be the same earth. It'll just be the devil and the world cosmos completely wiped away off of it. God's not making a new earth. This earth was his to start with. All he's going to do is burn it up, natural and spiritually, and completely get rid of the devil, and we will live on this thing forever.
Amen.
Before I read Revelation 21, let's turn to Malachi, the fourth chapter, real quick. I'll throw in that scripture for you. I'll let you see what the Bible... See, this thing runs. That's what I love about it. Is Brother Branham and Brother Childers and Brother Moore's never brought me anything that don't run. It's in there from Genesis all the way through. Malachi, the fourth chapter, just verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. That's the first burning that I've been talking about. That's down the stubble. That's before we got on the millennium. We've already talked about it, but that stubble, that didn't get to the root. The devil's still around. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. That's the second burning that we're talking about. That's over here after the white throne judgment, where it leaves no root. In other words, no life completely gets rid of the devil. That's what happens after Gog and Magog. God will completely destroy them. Now, let's read Revelation, the 21st chapter. You know, Brother Branham preached a message, Future Home, with the heavenly groom and the earthly bride. So it meant something to him.
Yes.
And he talked about it in there. And I'm not going to read this whole chapter. I'm going to read bits and pieces of it. Revelations 21 and 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Passed away, God has changed it from this condition. Is going to make it into a perfect condition. And I saw John, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down. That's a key point. From God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We'll get into all this in a minute, but that earth, that heaven's coming down to earth. You know where we're going to live? It'll be on this earth. Heaven and earth will be united down here. And we're going to be right here on this earth in a purified condition. That's what we're going to walk out on. And as a bride prepared, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. It'll be God all in all. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. Death and hell is cast into the lake of fire. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's a good thing to know. Now, I want to jump on down here for a minute. And I'm going to just jump on down to verse 12. And I had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. He starts talking about this city. And at the gates, 12 angels and names were therein, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east three gates, and the north three gates, and the south three gates, and on the west three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city. This is what I want to get to. And the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed and 12,000 furlongs. And the length and the breadth and the height of it are all equal. Now you can read down further. And it talks about how that we will have streets of gold and walk on streets of gold. It'll say that there'll be no nighttime in that city because the Lamb will be the light thereof. But I want to talk about that city for a minute because that's going to be part of that new heaven and new earth. Oh, yeah. There will be a city where the bride of Jesus Christ lives. And Brother Branham was talking about this, and he says it's equal on all directions.
Right.
And it's 1,500 miles square. Now, people think about a square being equal on all four sides, but that's not the only shape that can be equal on all directions. And he said, if you go that wide, he said, the foundation would never hold it in a rectangle like that anyhow. He said, it's a pyramid-shaped city. It's a mountain. And he said, you know, if he measured one time and said it would be from the eastern part of the United States all the way over to Mississippi. He said, it's going to be about the size of a half of America. Think how big that is. And people, he said, are worried about there won't be enough room over there. You know this ocean that we are in? It takes about two-thirds of the earth. There won't be there like that. So imagine how much land we're going to have, Brother Destin.
Right.
There'll be plenty of space over there. But the bride and the Old Testament saints and 140,000 will be in the city. It's going to be a pyramid shape.
Amen.
That will have been made exactly to your and my liking.
Amen.
The millennium, we'll build our own houses. But when we get here, it'll be a city made by God, prepared for us, and we will live there forever and ever. We can go out if we want and enjoy the earth, but that city is our home. We're going to enjoy it, Brother Moore. God made it exactly to our liking.
Amen.
The devil's not going to be there. That's the new earth and the new heaven is perfect. Spotless, no death, sin, no devil, no earthquake, no earthquakes, etc., etc.
Right.
Let me read what Brother Bram said about this. Future home. He said a lot about it. You know, Brother Morris said, if you want to learn about the theophany, you can probably read who's this Melchizedek. If you want to read about marriage and divorce, you can read the message, marriage and divorce. If you want to talk about what the city and the new heaven and new earth is going to look like, you can read the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. He talked about them, questions and answers in various places. He threw things in, but he gave the most details in here. What will it look like? Did you ever think now, bride, what it will look like? It's prepared and designed by the divine architect. What will that city look like? Now, we're going to talk about it for a few minutes. The divine architect has prepared it, designed it. And look, he has designed it with tender hands
for his beloved bride. What's it going to look like? Could you imagine a man marrying a wife that's able, how he builds and puts every little thing just exactly to her touch? Just what she would like. I'm not going to come in your home, but you know, we kind of been taught that here. That home is that woman's palace. Let her enjoy that thing. That's what Christ did for us. And we're supposed to love our wives like Christ loved the church. But I'm not coming into your house, so I'm going to keep preaching about this. Exactly to her touch, just what she would like, amen. The divine architect has designed a new city where he will live with his bride, just to her touch. No one of the apostles said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor neither has ever entered the heart of man. Let's see if we can probe into it just for a minute and see what it's going to look like. The divine architect has designed it for his beloved. You know, I've thought about eternity before, and I've talked to people thinking about eternity, think, man, what's it going to be like to live on and on and on? You can rest. God has made this thing where you're going to love it, where you're going to enjoy it,
amen.
Where you're going to just, you know, you like looking at the fields now, wait till you get over there. God has it just for you. Now, it's a pyramid, same book. Watch the city, earth takes its abode on earth. You can plainly see the earth must be changed. It can't have it like it is now. The world cannot go on after the millennium without being changed. To have such a place, it'll have to be changed. We've just talked about that. And we must be changed by his holy fire to condition to make a place for him to contain within us. And there will be plenty of room in the new earth. Plenty of room. It'll be renovated. That's true, by fire, and there'll be no more sea. Notice the city is 1,500 miles square. Now listen real close to draw these dimensions. Here's a deep revelation from God. That means, you know, not everybody gets this, in other words, what Brother Branham's trying to say.
Right.
People try to figure out what's going to look like. Brother Branham says, this is a deep revelation from God. I'll just stop here. None of you turn over in the book of Revelation that you can see it's measured in by cubits and by furlongs. 1,500 miles square. You know how far that would reach? I measured it off this week. It would reach from Maine to Florida and from the eastern seaboard to about 600 miles a pass west of the Mississippi. In other words, half of the United States just for the city.
Right.
You say there ain't no room. When the sea is gone, there will be, because pretty near four-fifths of it's in water. And the explosion dries up the sea and erupts the earth. Oh, my. 1,500 miles, what a city. But remember, the sea is gone. And the breadth and the height are the same. That would make it 1,500 miles this way, 1,500 miles that way, 1,500 miles the length by the breadth. Think of a transparent gold. And the city had a wall around it. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it by it being equal in the walls. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a cube or square. There's another geographical measure that the dimensions are the same, and that is a pyramid. That's what the city's going to look like. It'll be a pyramid. You know, there's three Bibles that God has used. The zodiac in the sky and the great pyramid over in Egypt. You know, if you study that pyramid, there's revelation in that thing, and it's the Bible that we got. But we're going to live in a pyramid over there. And don't think that's by chance. Why did Brother Branham draw this seven church ages as a pyramid?
Right.
There's a reason for every bit of this thing, because that's where we're going and that's where we're going to live.
Amen.
Now, the foolish virgin and the people that's been done wrong and the righteous and those souls on the altar, those people will live out there on the new earth. And there'll be plenty of room for them. And Brother Moore, they won't be sad.
No.
They're not going to be depressed. They're going to enjoy being who they are.
Amen.
And it talks about the kings bringing the leaves into the city as a healing of the nations.
Right.
Because on this side of the things, you know what? The nations would fight one and another. You know, I think about healing of the nations, and once again, not presuming about anything, not trying to make a doctrine, but God's a God of variety. That's truth.
Yeah.
And there's going to be cultures over there and different people over there, because God wanted every bit of it.
Amen.
And it's going to be a wonderful place. And a lion and a lamb will lay down, not only in the millennium, but they'll be able to be mixed the entire eternity over there.
Right.
And the fruits, will be able to eat them and enjoy them, because the devil can't get in there and give you any type of bacteria that's going to cause you problems. You know, if you read the news in the day that we lived in, you'd be afraid to eat, touch anything. I was reading about ticks the other day. You live out in the country that got ticks now with a different disease than even Lyme disease. You got to worry about everything. This earth is cursed. You just got to trust God. Brother Moore said for a long time, he said, if I didn't have God, I don't know if I'd want to bring kids on this earth. Because this earth is a mess.
Amen.
But there's coming a day, Brother Destins. It will not be a mess. We'll be able to be around trees and animals, and there won't be bacteria, and there won't be anything that's going to be able to cause us problems. This earth will be perfect in its Eden beauty, and Christ and his bride will live forever, and all the classes of people will live forever, and God's kingdom will be alive and well.
Amen.
That's what's going to happen. So, thank you, Jesus. We're through. When I started last Sunday, I knew it might take two services. That's why I started Sunday night. I think I can get done Sunday and Wednesday. Wasn't planning on being here this morning, but we're here. Let's summarize, and then I'm going to get Pastor Moore up. We're right here at the end of the church age. The Spirit is speaking to the bride. We're in this eighth day. We've been born again to have an eighth-day revelation. But we're still living on this earth that has time on it. And we still got a flesh that has time on it. Our soul's eternal, but we got to be changed. And we're going to be raptured off this thing and go to a wedding supper. And this earth, you can look at its condition. It's already getting to that point where we're getting ready to hate each other and fight each other and bomb each other. And hurricanes and tornadoes are going to tear this place up.
Right.
And the financial system is going to be wrecked. You could make sense. You let California sink and let that water cover most of America. This place is going to be in ruin. And Rome and Israel make a bond with each other. And we're going to, that's the tribulation period. But we'll be in the wedding supper.
Right.
And Moses and Elijah will be preaching 3.5 years. That's 144,000.
Right.
Basically giving the same message you and I got. That Christ has come. And he got him a bride.
Amen.
And then Christ will come back and reveal himself to them.
Right.
Then we're going into a millennium. And the rest of the dead, Brother Moore, live not for 1,000 years. And we will enjoy this millennial reign for 1,000 years. It'll be a real 1,000 years. Not just 40 days. Not just a made-up story. A real millennium. We'll build houses. The lamb and the lion shall lay down together. We won't get sick there. The devil won't be able to bother us there because we'll be perfect in all three realms. You know, when I should throw this in here because this question gets up. When we get over there, my wife will be my sister. It won't be the same relationship I have here. It won't be a sexual relationship. We won't be having kids. We'll be brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's the way it'll be for all of eternity. So you don't have to worry about that over there. Brother Bram said, I can hug them and have no sensation. But we're going to get in that millennium and enjoy that thing. And then there'll be a white throne judgment. And the bride will sit with Christ and judge the entire world. And the dead, the general resurrection will happen. They'll be coming up from the sea, coming up from the grave, coming up from hell, wherever they might be, raising their same old body and be judged according to their works. There'll be unbelievers, will be unbelievers, but God's eternal seed, foolish virgin, sold on the altar, whatever, will go into eternal life. Satan will be mad and go to want to have a war against God, but don't you worry. God's just going to say, I'm not going to remember you anymore. He's going to clean off the earth physically, and he's going to clean off the devil spiritually, and the devil will not be here anymore. And it'll be a new heaven and a new earth, perfect, clean, spotless, no devil anywhere that we live on. And there'll be a city there that you and I live on, made exactly by God to our liking. It'll be a pyramid shape, and they will just live there forever and ever and ever. And we will enjoy this thing, and there won't have to be any parting there. The streets will be of gold that we, you know, the Catholic Church that has all the money, you know what they have? Gold.
Right.
And one day we're going to walk on that. And it's going to be an enjoyable day. And the kingdom will be given back to God. And it'll be God all in all.
Right.
Now, I can say that the right way. God's always had this thing.
Right.
It's always been his hand.
Amen.
But it's just a description that this is Jesus' bride. And it's what Jesus has fought for. He's going to say, Lord, it's done now. We've fulfilled the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David. We've fulfilled all those offices. We've redeemed the bride. We're here now. We've got all three commas taken care of. The devil's wiped off. It's all one now. It's what you wanted and created, because God didn't want to dwell alone. Think about that. We're going to be exactly where God wanted us. You know, if the fall had never happened, you know, God needed the fall to happen. But the way that we would have came was by spoken word. We would have just been created by the spoken word. But God went through this whole process so that he could manifest all of his attributes, and it's going to wind right back up in his hands. And we will live forever and ever, serving God, fellowshipping with God, enjoying this thing, brother James. Because Jesus on that side will just be our elder brother.
Right.
And we'll know redemption story and all that. But this thing is going to be such a wonderful time. I can't wait to get here. I'm happy to do my job here. I will continue to fight here. And I'm going to enjoy this because I'm only coming this way one time.
Amen.
because I won't be the same way over there. So I'm going to enjoy this life too, Brother Dustin, and enjoy the time I have here and enjoy everything that God's given me to do and have here. But I know I'm going to a place I'm going to enjoy too. And I won't be losing the loved ones there. Matter of fact, my loved ones will be right there with me. I don't care what problems they have, they'll be right there with me. I don't care that they haven't come to church, they'll be right there with me. I don't care if they smoke and drink, they'll be right there with me. Over there, everybody will be perfect anyhow. Well, you know all the problems we have just because of the sex program. The crave to drink is because of the sex program. The craze for drugs is because of the sex program. The craze for adultery and sex is because of the sex program. It's because you got blood running through you, and that blood delivers things to your body that it likes. Sex program. But when we get over there, we'll just be flesh and bone and won't have no sex program, and the devil won't be around. And our loved ones will be there. All that we love will be there. Our animals will be there. Our rocking chair can be there. There won't be a thing we miss that we want. Because our beloved God made it exactly for our liking. That will be a wonderful time. And I think about this. I was thinking last night, and I want to say this before I sit down. I'm thankful that God has given us the truth.
Amen.
Brother Chilton, I'm thankful you had this thing rightly divided.
Amen.
I can remember Brother James as being a kid and sitting around. Brother Don Parnell was around back then, and he'll be in heaven with me too. And we'll talk about this thing and say, you had it right, then you left and got crazy, but don't worry. This is what's going to happen next. He'll get over there and say, Gog and Magog's next, Parnell, but don't worry about it. But it'll all be good. That's not to make light of it. But I can remember being a kid and hearing the preachers, Brother Moore and Brother Parnell and Brother Church saying, you can't read it like a newspaper. It's not necessarily in order. Gog and Magog's after white throne judgment, even though it reads in out of order. Because I remember they'd go to the Philippines, and people would debate them over that and say, nope, Gog and Magog's for the white throne judgment. But we got this thing lined up right. Haven't had to change it. And here's Brother Children, always giving him the credit. He'll read a quote and he won't miss it in there where Brother Graham said, in a few days, we'll have the correctness of marriage and divorce. And people read those message books for years, Brother Deskins. And here's Brother Children just reading and couldn't read as good as them, and that's not to pick on him, but he didn't miss words. What do you mean we'll have it correct in a few days? That must mean you didn't have it right. Now we're going to get it correct. That means we better read marriage and divorce about this. And when he read that question and answer quote I read where he put it all in order and then put the white throne judgment before Gog and Magog, he didn't get it wrong.
No.
He had it in the right order.
Amen.
And if we ever get the sign back up there, you'll read it in that order.
Amen.
It's a perfect order. And God does everything in order. You don't get him out of order. You don't get him. You don't put the cart before the horse. God has everything ticking just the way he wants it. And I'm thankful to have it right. I'm glad I'm on the top row and not on the bottom row. This is going to be a good story for you and me.
Amen.
So, Brother Joe, just call it part three. And I'm thankful that I can call it done. God bless you. Come on, Pastor.
I wanted him to finish that because it's a big story.
Yeah.
It covers a lot, and the things that are to be are things that people don't have a clue about. They don't understand that. And for us to been blessed to have that amongst us for 50 years, to have it right for as long as it's been laid out, as perfect as it is, in such a way that people around the world still don't get it. They still don't understand it. And you know, for us to have it here, I wanted Jeremiah to finish it, because I thought, you know what, I want all three parts together on the web page, so that if somebody wants to know about things that are to be, they can listen to all three of those messages,
right,
and they'll have it perfectly put in order like we have been taught. And this is important stuff. I mean, you say, well, I'll never remember it. You don't have to remember. And you know the thing that's so funny about it is that once you get it right, you know it. You may not be able to quote it back like Brother Branham said this and Brother Branham said that, but when you're talking to people in this message, you'll know the truth. And when they bring it another way and it doesn't run, you'll know it.
Amen.
You know, that seed that's in you cannot sin, cannot disbelieve. So, and I know when I've watched Brother Childers now for a long time, and to watch him battle people over the doctrines in this message. And the reason he battled them, because he knew what was right. And when they would come up from another way that wasn't right, he was obligated to stand on that doctrine because he had us depending on him being right. And now that we understand where he was standing and what he was bringing, when we run across people who have the Armageddon mixed up and Gog and Magog before the throne judgment, and they got everything all backwards, and we hear it, we understand, because it's a bigger picture than just having a doctrine correct. It's a bigger picture because, you know, like Brother Branham said, if you're shooting an arrow and you mess up your aim here and you're shooting downrange, by the time that arrow gets off downrange, it's going to be much further off than it is when you were shooting, because you might be off. You say, inch don't matter. Well, that's an inch here. When you get it downrange, it's going to be feet off. And it's the same way with this revelation, this word. Brother Childress was a stickler on doctrine because he understood that you get your doctrine off here, it's going to put you off way downrange. And we're sticklers here with our revelation and our doctrine, even on the minute things that doesn't even matter to people. They say, oh, it doesn't matter. It matters, because if you have it off here, by the time you get to where you're trying to get to, you will be way off. That's why they get to the third coming. That's why they change the doctrine and change the word to try to match, because they get down the range. They don't realize when they're off that they start talking, and they'll talk themselves, you know, it starts out a little bit, just a little bit off. You know, oh, I don't, just like a home. Oh, I don't have to listen to my husband on everything. Now, that ain't the end goal of Satan. You know, the end goal is you're going to walk away from the church. That's the end goal. He don't even care about your marriage. He ain't worried about whether you listen to your husband or not. His end goal is to get you off down here, to get you away from the word. So first he's going to do is try to get you away from your leadership. And then he'll say, well, it's not important. Well, it may not be important here, but you get downrange and you'll find out you don't believe nobody. I've seen it over and over again. So for Brother Childress to stand on this doctrine like he has, all this time, I thank God for it. I thank God. And that's why I'm strong like I am. I won't let you hold your thinking.
Right.
I mean, because everybody who comes to this church, we all come with our thinking. And I don't care. You say, well, I've never been in a church in my life. You don't even have to go to church to get your own thinking. You'll have your own ideas, even if you were an atheist. And you'll come here, and you're not going to change what we have here. You're not at all. What we have has been given by God and has been 100% correct.
Amen.
100%, not 80. A lot of churches have 80% or 60%. But when you got it 100% correct, you're not trying to adjust it. Brother Childress wasn't trying to find something better, trying to change it. And what God gave him in 73, he preached it just like he had it. And then when I came in 80 and I heard what Brother Childress had and picked up by revelation what he had, I didn't change. I was sitting there looking at Jeremiah today, and I was thinking, people don't understand, Brother Childress is 30 years older than me. I am 30 years older than Jeremiah. You know, this is the space that God has us spaced out, even for me to have the time, the 30 years to be able to sit under Brother Childress and listen to this word upon word, perfectly brought. And Jeremiah, he says he's been doing it since you, how old? 6? You've been here since you've been 8? That's a long time to be sitting under this. But Jeremiah's not young like he used to be. But we have it right. You know, we have it right, and it's good to be able to even let Brother Childress sit here and have us bring back to him what he's brought to us. And to know that nobody's going to change this. You know, I've got it. And Jeremiah has it. Jeremiah, you know, whenever I make a move, Jeremiah is always right on my tail. Well, you changed this. You've done this. You mentioned this. You've done it. So he is right behind me, just like I've been right behind Brother Childress. So this church is blessed. is blessed to have the solid men of God with the revelation that can bring it perfectly. We don't have to wonder about the white throne judgment. We don't have to wonder about our loved ones. We don't have to wonder about the new heaven and earth. We don't have to wonder about things that are to be. We've got the things right as far as doctrine for this hour that we're living in. I mean, it's beautiful to see how God has done it, and it's perfectly done. So by us going over these doctrines, it's hard for us in this hour to preach one doctrine. It really is, because it's so much. But to bring it to your attention so you can appreciate what you have. We Brother Chose, Wednesday night we brought up, I've had them put on the webpage these doctrines that we've been preaching. And we've been on this 2 months solid. 2 months solid of doctrine. And still have not hardly hit it. 2 months. And this is what you received in one night. And we've been on it for 2 months and still going on it and on it, and it's amazing. But I wanted the church to see how important that one night was, because it lined everything up. And everything that we have now is because of that. And now we can preach from any angle, any area, on any doctrine, and we've got it perfect. You say, you got it perfect? Yes, I have it perfect. And I don't have to doubt myself. And when I go places, like I'm going to go to this church on the 21st, I'm not going to go there thinking that, oh my, I have to be afraid that maybe somebody's going to come with something. No, I know what I have is perfect. It's right 100%. And when I'm listening to them, I'm listening to them wondering if they're right. Not me. I know I'm right. And so when we go and we hear these things, when you hear somebody that gets off the doctrine, you recognize just like that. When you hear somebody that's bringing something that's not quite on the word, you hear just like that. That's why Brother Chose can sit there. And if somebody gets off, he knows just like that. Why? It's got to run. It's got to tie. And the things that are to be, the sequence of event, we have talked about this around the world for years. And they can't get it right. Because they try to do it by their studies. But they don't understand how important it was to put all the doctrines together to even see the sequence of events. If you didn't have all the doctrines right, you'll never get the sequence of events right. Because Brother Brown didn't have it right for a long time. And if you're grabbing his old quotes to get the sequence of events, you're going to mess it up. You have to understand he changed. Then you got to find out what he changed, when he changed, how he changed, and then tie it in together. That's what God did for this church. And so now we can talk on any subject. Come on, musicians. We can talk on any subject, anything we need to talk about, and it's perfectly given to us. Amen. Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear. Page 40. It's amazing. Again, I say, Brother Childers, thank you, thank you, thank you. It hasn't gone unnoticed. And what we have been enjoying is because of your sacrifice. You've been beat up, you've been knocked around, you've been talked about, you've been misunderstood, but you stood. And because you did, you showed us how to. And now because you stood, we'll stand. Well, you'll never have to worry about whether this doctrine is going to be preached here. Because it will be preached here. I don't care who comes or goes. We had the best preachers in the world come and go. And the key is, this revelation is right. Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, all joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful then, when with the Savior we enter the glory land? Won't it be wonderful then? Oh, ended the troubles and storyland. Won't it be wonderful then? Oh,
walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One. Won't it be wonderful then? Praising, adoring the matchless Eternal One. Think about it. Won't it be wonderful then? Oh, yes, having no burden. Joyously singing, the heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful then? Yes, there with the tempest will never be sweeping us. Won't it be wonderful then? Sure and forever, the Lord will be keeping us. Won't it be wonderful? Oh, yes, won't it be wonderful? Think about what you just heard this morning. Having no burdens to bear. Oh, we'll be joyously singing when our bells all ring. Oh, won't it be wonderful then? With Christ the Supernal One, won't it be wonderful then? Praise and adoring the matchless. Oh yes, won't it? Oh, won't it be? Oh, we will have no burdens to bear. Joyously singing. Wonderful, having no burden. Oh, we'll be joyously singing. Won't it be wonderful? Oh, yes, won't it? Think about it. Oh, yes, won't it be wonderful? Think about it. Yes, walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One. Won't it be wonderful then? Praising, adoring our matchless sea.